This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back to the second hour of Food for Thought. And joining me today is Jeannie and Tracy. We are on 107.7 WTPL in the Concord, Manchester, and Lakes region, as well as streaming all around the world on WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And anytime during the show, you can give us a call at 866-823-1077. We'd love to hear of a new place that may be opening up, or a new place you've eaten at, or a recipe you'd like to share, or if you just want to chat with us. Again, the number is 866-823-1077. We'd also like to welcome our live audience here to the Beacon Building in downtown Manchester. We're at 814 Elm Street. If you're still trying to figure out where to go for lunch, you can come on down to Midtown Cafe, and you can come and watch the show. And if you could also go to Facebook and like us on Facebook, go to Food for Thought with Carol, and there'll be upcoming very shortly, there'll be some ways for you to win some prizes on Facebook. So again, Food for Thought with Carol. And welcome back to the second hour.
Yes.
So girls,
I want to share with you something that I'm going to be making for dinner tonight. It was supposed to happen last night, but you know how, you know, schedules
of course
get a little crazy.
All the time.
This is a recipe that I have had for years. And you know how you kind of get in, you can get in a food rut, too,
of course,
and you forget to go back to things that you really enjoyed, and you think, why have I not made this? This is like a, it's almost like a sweet and sour turkey stir fry kind of thing, but
ooh,
it's not just regular turkey.
Something for dinner, so.
Okay.
Keep going.
This is ground turkey. So what you do is you fry up some in a little bit of olive oil.
Celeste oliva,
yes, and you can get some of the infused. You can play with the flavors a little bit, but you're going to put onion, 1.5 onions in there.
Yum.
Some garlic. And then add some green pepper, mushrooms, carrots. You're going to chop up 2 carrots. So it gets a lot of good vegetables in here.
So in a stir fry, like cut up or sliced?
Sliced, like you would for a stir fry.
Yep.
And then you add your ground turkey and you kind of saute that in there. So everything, you know, the vegetables are getting just a little bit soft and then the turkey's getting brown. And then you mix up a sauce, which is, I think it's 3 tablespoons of tomato paste and soy sauce, brown sugar.
Ooh.
Mm.
Ooh. I can't do that.
You can't?
No.
The brown sugar?
What about honey?
Honey.
Be a
honey
little
would
better
work.
For me.
Sure. Could always
just tweak it just a little bit. Yep.
Or agave.
I'm just trying to think of something better, right? That would be better, right, than brown sugar?
Yeah, honey. I mean, it depends because, either you do the 3 tablespoons of brown sugar or you could put some honey in there just to kind of tweak it. And this is like a sweet and sour sauce. So
right.
There's some room for movement.
Paste, soy sauce.
Yeah. And then some ginger. I think it's a teaspoon of ginger.
Like
then
ground ginger?
Yes.
Okay.
The powdery stuff.
Yeah.
And then a 20-ounce can of crushed pineapple.
Oh.
And so you mix up that sauce. You put that over what's frying up in your pan.
Okay.
You simmer that for a little bit so everything's going to blend and it makes a
do you
nice.
Stir
and
it
there's
all
a
up?
Little bit of add a little bit of cornstarch to the sauce before you do that. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Yeah, because that's going to make that a little thicker. Yes, you want to stir that all up so it all blends into a liquidy form. Then you serve that over some brown rice. Or whatever kind of rice you like. I mean, we like jasmine, but sometimes we're trying to be a little healthier and do brown rice.
Yeah.
And then you top that with just a little, for garnish or for effect, the chow mein noodles. You know, the crispy ones?
Yes.
Because it gives it that crunch. It
gives a little crunch.
So when you're diving into this dish, you've got the nice green peppers. You've got crunch from your carrots. And then you've got the sauce that just has a wonderful blend of flavors. And then the crunch from those chow mein noodles. It's amazing.
Yum. I haven't had a stir fry in a long time.
That's what I'm going to have.
And the ginger it just adds that little punch.
I love it. Now, you know what I would even add to that with the vegetables? I'd add some asparagus.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, asparagus.
See, and that's the thing.
You could
kind of
add and take
vegetables.
Out. See, do not like green peppers.
You don't? Okay. Yeah.
I like raw.
Okay.
I don't like cooked green peppers.
Okay.
It's just my thing.
It just doesn't work for you.
Nope.
Okay.
Sorry. I didn't see that. Hi, Earl. How are you?
I'm great. How about you?
I'm good. Do I remember you from the last show?
You might. I've talked to you before.
Yeah, I think so. I remember.
Yeah, I'm the one that asked you about why everybody has to turn everything hot.
Pepper. Oh, yes.
You're right.
And yeah. I go along with, I like peppers raw, but not cooked.
Yep, me too. Yep.
My question is, you know, you're opening all these great Red Arrow restaurants. Why do you want to open one in Concord? I don't want to travel 40 miles to go to one of the restaurants.
Do you know that is probably the most asked that I get, place that I get. When are you going to open up in Concord? So, you know, I do think, because this opening in Londonderry went so well. And, you know, I guess we're going to have to seriously sit down and think about Concord. So, Earl, who knows? You never know. If you would have asked me this a month ago, I would have said, you are crazy. That is not happening. But it really went well.
North State Street and Loudoun Road area are such prime areas. And with your reputation, with the Red Arrow reputation, I don't think you'd be able to find enough seats for people.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate that. That was really nice. Thank you.
Yeah. Anytime my wife and I have tried to go into the Manchester restaurant, it's been a long wait. Worth it. Well worth it, but it's
thank
been
you.
A long wait.
Thank you.
And it's the kind of food that we both enjoy. It's homey. And I especially like when Guy Fieri came and
I know
and got in with your cook and with that crazy rolling pin he uses.
Wasn't that funny? That little thing, that was so hilarious.
Oh, I thought Fieri was going to have a bird.
He's this big, big guy, and he was on this little rolling pin, and he's like, what am I supposed to do with this thing? It was so funny. It was funny. I still can't get over, Earl, that he didn't know what a whoopie pie was. Do you remember that?
You know, yeah. I don't know. Is a whoopie pie a New England thing?
It is. I did not know what a whoopie pie was when I moved here.
Yeah, crazy.
Because I've seen him as far west as Ohio.
Yeah, I don't know. Guy looked at me like I had 10 heads when I said we have, you know, delicious whoopie pies. He's like, what is a whoopie pie? I'm like, what?
I mean, being from California, he's probably heard of what a whoopie cushion is.
But... Yeah. he didn't know what American Chop Suey was either.
Well, out there, I think they call it Hungarian goulash.
Yeah,
we
goulash.
Do. I'm from Oklahoma, and we called it goulash, just goulash. Yeah. I didn't know. I had to have that explained to me as well.
Yeah. Well, he loved it anyway. He did love the American Chop Suey, but anyway.
Yeah. He's a real freak when it comes to macaroni, anything to do with macaroni, especially if it's macaroni and cheese.
Oh, yum. That's my favorite, too. And, of course, at the Red Arrow, we have...
Mine, too, and my wife can't have cheese. So.
Oh. So when you go out, you have your mac and cheese, right?
Well... No, I've got other things that are probably no good for me. I love to eat.
Okay. In moderation, Earl. Once in a while, it's okay.
Absolutely.
All right.
Carol,
thank you so much.
You guys have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Right.
That was sweet. All right. You're listening to Food for Thought. And when we come back, we are going to be, you're going to hear my travels at the Tilton Winter Farmers Market, as well as Kohl's Winter Farmers Market right in Concord. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 1077 The Pulse.
Carol with Food for Thought, and today is Saturday, and I'm at the Tilton Winter Farmers Market. I know you've heard me talk about it many, many times on the show, and I'm here with Joan O'Connor, who is the owner, and she runs the Tilton Winter Farmers Market, and I'm so excited to be here. And can you tell me a little bit about the Winter Farmers Market? And there's so much hustle and bustle going on over here.
Well, fortunately, about 4 years ago, I was offered to use this building up here at Exit 20. It's a 12,000 square foot building. And it's three huge rooms, and it's right at this whole crazy interchange with all these big box stores all around me and all this congested traffic going by, hundreds of thousands of cars going by. And I thought, great location. So I took a chance, and I opened the market, and right off the bat, we're getting well over 1,000 people in 4 hours, and it's a destination. It's something to do on a Saturday. The market was December, January, February, March. I have three more to go, March 14th, 21, and 28th. So there's these three last markets where I'm trying to remind the customers, you better stock up because there's going to be a gap now between farmers markets and the summer markets. So if you need your honey, if you need your vegetables, if you need your jams and jellies and mustards and fudges. So there are 50 vendors here. Sometimes someone might be, down with a cold or whatever, but you can count on at least 47 vendors here with a range, but it is a farmer's market. I try to only book people that have really interesting food that they make themselves, that, you know, try to use local ingredients, good ingredients like, you know, the pastry people. I don't want any high fructose corn syrup. I don't want any red dye number 10 or whatever. I really push my vendors to use really good ingredients. And if they were using margarine, I push them, would you try butter? You know, that kind of thing. So I do work my vendors to really give the right foods to our customers. But I also have a few artisans. I've got a woman that's a quilter, and I've got a woodworker, and I've got a printmaker, and I've got dog treats. But then there's all those comfort foods. I have really good fudge. I have the pastry people, like I said. I've got a woman that makes cannolis using all of their family Italian recipes. What else?
Well, you know, there's no farmer's market without the homemade donuts. I saw that when we walked in. And, you know, what for people that haven't been up here, can you walk somebody through the front door? Walk somebody through the front door and just, you know, give a little synopsis about what, you know, what they may find as they walk through the door. And, I mean, there's hustle and bustle here. I mean, I even hear music in the background. So what is that all about?
Well, I'm averaging, like I said, about 1,000 people in 4 hours. So these customers are coming. They're coming from all over the state, thank goodness. I mean, people here from Rochester and from Derry, and they're coming from Lincoln, New Hampshire. They're coming from the other side of Winnipesaukee. So they're converging into this region, thank goodness. And so when you walk in the door, most people turn right. But also, most of my vendors on that main floor have been with me for all these years. I've been doing these markets for 7 years now. So many of them have earned that position. They love being in that main room down there. So, you know, you've got your everybody wants to come in and grab their favorite cookie, and they want to grab their coffee. So those are the first two major booths that you come across. And then as you go down, there's really wonderful breads. I have a guy that does these authentic like Jewish rye and caraway, and he does bialys, which are these wonderful sort of white bread with a sauteed onions on the inside of it. So you're learning some new things, like, ooh, what's that? I have meat vendors. I have six meat vendors that they raise these animals themselves. They are ethically slaughtered. They are at USDA facilities, so that they all are, you know, stamped with all the government inspections and everything. And it's usually a scary step for some people to jump in and start, you know, trying local meat. But once you try maybe a package of ground beef and make a meatloaf, then you taste it. You're like, holy smokes. I can't eat packaged chicken anymore. I buy my chicken from my vendors because they raise these birds. They're out there picking around with the bugs and whatnot. The meat just tastes so good. And then to meet the farmer and learn how they raise their animals and the ethical slaughtering, like I said, and then I have all cuts of meat. I have beef, pork, goat, lamb. I've got wonderful lamb here. And then vegetables. I try to find my farmers because it's a hard crop to grow in New Hampshire, but they're getting sharper. They're getting smarter. But I have a tomato vendor. He has, you know, these tomatoes he grows in the dead of winter. I have a mushroom vendor, New Hampshire Mushroom Company. So there's like 10 different varieties of mushrooms that they cultivate here in New Hampshire. I have Sarawak Farm that has all the winter greens and the chards and the kales. She has, you know, dinosaur kale and all these beautiful spinach. And then another farmer that harvests at the peak growth. And she freezes the vegetables, you know, so she's got packages of broccoli and corn and squashes and everything. So you buy this you know, beautiful package of vegetables and make your own soups and casseroles and everything. So anyway, people are happy to find this connection to get the fresh and apples. Most of these farmers are storing these apples in their controlled environments and then bring out these beautiful Honeycrisp apples and Macon and all these, their favorite.
And that's stuff that you wouldn't normally get in the wintertime, which...
Right. Most orchards had been shutting down all these years, but now they're realizing there is a market for this. They're learning, like, wow, we can do winter markets now. So they, instead of feeding these all their apple crops to the farm animals, they're storing them now in controlled refrigeration, and then they're doing us a favor by storing this for, and then they bring it out and they sell it to us, so that it's just like you've been to the orchard that weekend and picked your own apples. And some of the vendors are taking that fresh product and they're making some of these, you know, like there's a woman here that makes pie fillings. So she'll get the local apples and she'll make a pie filling, and then you can go home and make your own apple pie at home. So, you know, she's cut out that degree of difficulty for making a pie.
Exactly. Well, you know, I cannot wait to start walking around here and starting to nibble some of this stuff, because it all looks fantastic. And let's touch upon that, the music. So do you have music every week?
Yes, every week. I have about 30 musicians that I've built up this wonderful group, and I just send out a big email to them in the fall saying, okay, musicians, here are my dates. Who wants to book a date? And they all pipe in because, again, this loyalty. I love my musicians, and they play for tips, but they love being here. Most of them have CDs these days, or they play a circuit so they can advertise where you can catch them, you know, like on Friday nights, open mics and things like that. I love my musicians. There's some talented people up here that in this whole Lakes region and most of them I try to get acoustic, but sometimes they have to have like three or four of them with their electric, but I'm like, oh God, but it's not too bad. I can always sort of say, turn it down a little. But
I think it's great. I mean, it adds to the hustle and bustle here, and it's just so lively. And who would have thought, you know, winter farmers market? I think it's fantastic. I thank you very much, Joan. And I'm gonna go around and I'm gonna go and visit these wonderful purveyors that you have here. So thank you very much.
There's lots of sampling in this market. That's what I really push these vendors. Open that package and learn how to handle food safely and put out that sample with a little toothpick in it so the customer can taste the product and ask you a question like, what's in this? You know, what am I eating here? So almost every vendor has a sample for you to try. Some people come here just for lunch. They walk around and sample everything, but that's okay. They're learning a lot. They're interacting with my vendors. And then my vendors are learning a lot too. What does the customer want? What does someone go, ew, I don't like the taste of this. So they're learning like, well, that didn't work. So then they can go back and work on their recipes and everything. So please come here and snack.
This is Carol with Food for Thought, and I'm with Joan O'Connor, Tilton Winter Farmers Market. And Joan, just one more thing, let people know, where are you located?
We're at exit 20 off of I-93. It's that whole crazy interchange for the Lakes region and for the Tanger Outlet Center. You get off of exit 20 and you cross the highway and head west, and I'm right over the highway. Look for the cop car, because I have to hire the Tilton Police Department to direct traffic, because it's so, you know, this is a whole hub here of all these other box stores and stuff. But it's easy to spot. You can't miss it. It's a big, it used to be a former Agway building. So this has a big sort of a gambrel roof to it, and it looks like a barn type of a thing. But it's three big rooms and it's all handicapped accessible. I always emphasize that, you know, bring your grandmother, bring your family member that's in a wheelchair. It's all accessible. And again, there's all that food and music, and it's a good thing to do on a boring weekend.
It is. And like you said, it's a destination. So listeners, get on out here to the Tilton Winter Farmers Market, located off exit 20. And I'm at the booth with the Coffin Cellars, locally made fruit and berry wines. And I am with Jamie. So, Jamie, how is it at the Tilton Winter Farmers Market? How long have you been here?
I've been doing this since we started. I think it was 3 years ago now. It's definitely something that I enjoy, getting to be able to meet most of my customers and actually get a face to people. You know, the business here is great. There's always a lot of people milling around. And just the excitement, I think, that people have for something local, you know, is fun for me.
So are you, do you make the wine? I mean, you, okay. Oh my goodness. So what kinds of wines do you have?
Well, we do all fruit, berry, and vegetable wines. I don't use any grapes in anything that we do. We try and source as locally as possible. We have up to maybe 10 different varietals at a time. Right now I'm running about 7 or 8, typically dry wines to semi-sweets. And then we also have a jalapeno wine that's doesn't really fit in any category. It's spicy.
But you could also maybe cook with it. Now, did you say vegetable wines?
Yes, yeah, with the jalapeno. We also have done an onion wine in the past and a beet wine. We kind of just like having fun, and we'll try to make wine out of just about anything.
Wow, that sounds pretty cool. So is there other places that people can find Coffin Cellars wine?
Sure, yeah, you can find us online at Coffin Cellars Winery or coffincellars.com, and you can go to coffincellarswinery@gmail.com as well. Find us on Facebook. We sell out of the winery, which is in Webster, New Hampshire, Saturday and Sunday, 1 to 5. And, a couple of small stores in Concord area, Corner Cupboard and River Hill Market and the Concord Co-op as of right now. But we're still relatively small and just trying to slowly make a name for ourselves without overextending too much.
Well, this sounds like a perfect spot for you because I'm surprised at how many people are here. I mean, there's lots of people, and it's like a hustle and bustle and with the music and all. So good luck to you. Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you so much.
And obviously, she was having a fantastic time getting to see a bunch of the different vendors and getting to experience all those flavors and all the different things. And the behind-the-scenes stuff is what makes it interesting when you really get to talk to someone about what went into their product and why it's so important that it be natural enough to be in a farmer's market.
Yes, I definitely want to go check that out. So she said that was off exit 20 in Tilton?
Yeah, and the great part is it's not only easy to find, but yeah, once you get there, you're just going to see so many more things to discover. In fact, she went on and spoke to some other folks, so we are going to have Carol take it away one more time and hear some of the other great vendors she ran into.
I am at the Tilton Winter Farmers Market, and I am now at Beth's Gluten-Free Goodies, and I'm right here with Beth, the owner, and I'm looking at all these gorgeous muffins and brownies and cookie bars and cookies and breads, and you know, I cannot believe that all of this is gluten-free. Tell me a little bit more about this.
I started out about 7 years ago when my daughter was diagnosed, and we really didn't like what was on the market. And so we decided to start experimenting. And a couple of years ago, all my kids said, you need to go out and start selling. And so that's what I did.
Well, it is really delicious. Can you just let people know a little bit, like what is the variety that you have here? Because you have quite a bit of things here.
We usually have anywhere from 8 to 10 different types of cookies. I always carry about 5 different types of bread, and usually 3 types of muffins, a couple of different bars. I do pies and cakes and cupcakes and things like that.
Well, the blueberry oat bar, that's my favorite. But everything looks so good. And you know, when gluten-free, you know, first started being, everybody was a little more aware, you know, about it. I am not gluten-free myself, but I know I tried a couple of gluten-free things and, you know, I didn't really kind of care for it. You would never know that this is gluten-free. I mean, it is, everything here is very, very good.
Thank you. I have 7 children, and when one was diagnosed, there was no way I could separate the kitchen. And so I decided that I was going to make it good enough for the whole family. And then I realized that that's how other families should deal with it also. And so that's what I've done. And like with my breads, I soak the flours for 24 hours before I make it into bread, so it's healthier for you. I also use high-protein flours like quinoa and teff and things like that.
All right, and we are at the Tilton Winter Farmers Market. And where else can people find Beth's gluten-free goodies?
At the moment, I also do a winter market in Ossipee, New Hampshire at the Granary right on 16. Same day on Saturday, 10 to 2. And then in the summertime, I'll be doing the Wolfboro Farmers Market. And I also do special orders, so you could call me and I could make things up.
Okay. Do you have a website or a phone number you want to share?
My email is Beths, gfgoodies1@gmail.com, and my phone number is 630-8981.
Very good. Beth, thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.
I am still at the Winter Tilton Farmers Market, and it is absolutely amazing here. There is a buzz of people, and everybody is just all over the place with music going and everything. Joan certainly does a great job here. And what farmers market doesn't have sweets? So I am here with Eddie of Rollin' in the Dough. And you were the first one that I saw when we walked in. And the first thing that I saw were these bars here. And I'm not even going to take a guess at what they are. So, Eddie, tell me what you have here.
We have lemon bars, peanut butter bars, raspberry bars, seven-layer bars. We also do cream puffs, eclairs, cupcakes, coffee cakes, scones, cookies like chocolate chip, peanut butter, ginger, oatmeal raisin, coconut macaroons. We also do different types of breads, ciabatta.
The breads here look amazing. Now, so the bar right there, that's a peanut butter bar. I mean, that is huge.
Yeah, so it's, everything is fresh made.
Now, do you do the baking?
My wife's the baker. I'm not.
So your wife's the baker, and you come and you sell it.
Right. And she also, you know, it's all with... fresh ingredients, you know, it's all handmade. It's nothing out of a bucket.
So all natural ingredients, all fresh and natural ingredients. Well, it certainly looks that way. And I know you have a customer. I'm going to ask you one more question. Where else can people find Rollin' in the Dough?
You can find us. We have a cafe in Franklin, which is down on 939 Central Street in Franklin. And it's called Rollin' in the Dough Bakery and Cafe.
Okay. Oh, my goodness. That's great. And do you do any other farmers markets throughout the year?
We do. We do Laconia. We do Concord Summer Market. We do Bedford, New London.
Wow. So you're all over the place. Well, I live in Bedford, so you'll be seeing me. So, Eddie, thank you very much. And I can't wait to try one of these. I'm not quite sure which one I'm going to get, but thank you very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I am still at the Tilton Winter Farmers Market, and Daryl and I are having a really good time. There's all kinds of vendors here, like I said. And right now I'm with Whitney with Beans and Greens Farm. I mean, what farmers market is not complete without vegetables? So, Whitney, tell me a little bit about Beans and Greens Farm.
Beans and Greens is in Guilford, off of 11. We're open at the end of April, but we're here at the farmers market during the winter. We have some spinach. You got to get here earlier. We have some onions, and we have a lot of frozen produce, chicken, beef, and pork, and we also freeze vegetables, too.
And I also see broth in there.
Yes. From the chickens, when we cut up a chicken, we save the carcasses and make broth out of that for the
I think that's really cool. I mean, people love fresh broth like that. Now, I also see homemade donuts over here. That must be, I mean, you know, whenever you go to a farmer's market, you always see homemade donuts. So tell me a little bit about that.
We started that this year. They're cider donuts. They're awesome. We make them every weekend, and we'll have them at the farm stand when we open back up. But, yeah, you can't go wrong.
You definitely can't go wrong. They look really good, and I'm sure you go through hundreds and hundreds of them. Now, just one other little thing. I was looking through a magazine that Joan was showing me, and you do farmer dinners at Beans and Greens?
We do. We did them through Beans and Greens. We did a farm-to-table dinner once a summer. Now we're opening a separate company. It's called Timber Hill Farm, if you guys check that out online. They'll be hosting the farm-to-table dinner this year, and they'll also be hosting weddings and farm to table events, so you can get fresh veggies while you're getting married.
Hey, why not? That's probably the craze now. Who knows?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, thank you, Whitney, very much. And again, that's Beans and Greens Farm, and they're in Guilford on Intervale Road. Thank you, Whitney.
No problem. Have a good one.
All right, so those were my travels to the farmers market. Well, that one is the Tilton Winter Farmers Market, and we're going to go on break. And when we come back, we're going to go back. Now we're going to go and head to the Kohl's Farmers Market, Winter Farmers Market in Concord. So stay tuned, Food for Thought. I'll be right back.
Food for Thought. returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. And we are going to next visit Cole's Winter Farmers Market and speak with Charlie and Rick over at Breakwind Farm. So here we go. Okay, you are listening to Food for Thought with Carol, and we are hopping around the state today. Now we are over at Cole's Winter Farmers Market in Concord, and I am with someone that I've been trying to get to meet for a few weeks now, but I'm with Rick from Breakwind Farm, and one of my friends, Ruthie, she's actually my hairdresser, that kind of introduced me to Breakwind Farm, and let people know what you make here and how you came up with the name and you know, and your lingo that you say and stuff, which I think is really, really cool.
Well, we make four varieties of homemade baked beans using organic ingredients. Two are a little bit spicy, two are not. They are called Far Too Tempting Baked Beans, which is something that we came up with a few friends sitting around, as we did with most of the stuff that you hear.
Maybe having a few drinks?
Libation may have been involved. It's definitely a possibility. Breakwind Farm actually existed prior to the beans. And Breakwind Farm in Hopkinen was my folks' place years back. Patty and I moved in, and she was looking to quit her corporate job with a one-hour commute each way to Andover, Mass. And as a joke one day, when she was particularly depressed, I said, "Hey, I know, we're at Breakwind Farm. You can make baked beans." And she went completely silent on the other end of the phone, and the next thing you know, she was feeding me beans for about 2 months with all of her recipes, fine-tuning them.
So that is how this came about. Oh, my goodness. So tell me a little bit more. Keep talking. How did the flavors come about?
The first three were the Outstanding Original, which is a standard traditional New England baked bean. Then also we had the Fiery Texas Tornado and the Jumping Jalapeno, which are both what I call New Hampshire spicy. In other words, they're a medium salsa level or less. And then after that, the fourth was Soothing Summer Breeze with less backdraft, and later on also less brown sugar, because people were looking for one with a little less brown sugar. So those are the four varieties.
Okay, so when you say less backdraft, how do you do that? I don't understand that. How do you do that?
Well, the one Summer Breeze, our Wedding and Air Flight bean, is actually pre-boiled using a type of kelp that we get from a farm, kelp farm up in Maine, and it actually removes some of the enzymes that your body rejects, and it beneficially adds in a ton of micronutrients, so it's extremely healthy as well. And that's pretty much how it all works.
Wow, that is very interesting. So can we talk a little bit about Breakwind Farm and what else you offer over there and where you're located?
We are technically at 1584 Maple Street, but if you look on a map, we're on Route 127 in West Hopkinton, just past Elmbrook Park, if you're coming from the south. And we do a number of things. We do HelpX and Workaway, where people come and we teach them how to grow organic vegetables, and they stay with us. We have a small farm stand. We do Christmas trees before Christmas. We do spring hanging baskets, pumpkins and mums in the fall. So that's a few of the things that we key on.
Okay, so now where else can people find your Far Too Tempting beans? Where is there any other place other than farmers markets?
Right now we're just doing farmers markets and events. The farmers markets we've been doing this year. We cut back a little bit, but this year has been Tilton Farmers Market, a great market here at Cole Gardens in Concord. The Concord Summer Market and Newburyport, Mass. Actually has a pretty strong summer market that we've been attending. We do have a lot of people that want us to put them in stores, but it requires licensing that is going to take us a little bit of time and cash, but we are pursuing that presently.
Well, listeners, if you haven't, first of all, if you haven't been to any of the farmers markets, Daryl and I today are having a really, really good time going out to the farmers markets. And, you know, you get to meet all the local people and all the local, you know, products that everybody is, you know, is making. And these beans, they are delicious. My favorite ones are these Fiery Texas Tornado and the Jumpin' Jalapeno. I know my brother is going to like. So I've taken both of those home, and I can't wait to share them with people. So, Rick, thank you very much for coming on The Pulse with me, and I'll have to have you in studio sometime. So thank you.
Sounds like a plan. And remember, spread the word, but don't spill the beans.
Thank you. Okay, this is Carol with Food for Thought. And like I said, I've been traveling around to a couple of the winter farmers markets here in New Hampshire, and we're having a great time. And right now I'm at the Kohl's Winter Farmers Market, and right now I'm with Charlie Cole of Kohl's Winter Farmers Market. So tell me a little bit about what people may expect when they come into Kohl's Farmers Market.
Well, it sets us apart from other local markets around here. We're in a greenhouse, and it feels like spring every market day, so that's kind of nice. We have about 32 vendors every week, ranging from meats, dairy, cheeses, apples, honey, mushrooms, all kinds of stuff, ravioli, guacamole, all kinds of things to really put dinner together and have fun Saturday night or for the week.
These mushrooms are, I cannot believe these mushrooms are absolutely beautiful.
Oh my God, they are. Dennis does a great job. He's from New Hampshire Mushroom Company, and he's one of our favorites here. He really has a nice pull of cool mushrooms, and he has great ideas of how to use them in your cooking.
Now, how long have you been doing the Winter Farmers Market?
It's funny. I get asked that, and I always forget. I think this might be our 6th year, give or take.
Now, each year, do you see an increase in people, or?
Each year, it's actually pretty steady every year. I think each year we get more and more serious people that are into the buying local or organic or just trying to find different things to use for their own day-to-day cooking.
Right. I believe, you know, I'm sure of that because, you know, people are so into the farm-to-table now. And, you know, coming out and doing the winter farmers markets. Let's talk a little bit about Kohl Gardens.
Yeah, we're a garden center with a florist also. And we're, you know, itching for spring like most of us right now. We've been here for, this will be our 10th spring, actually. Yeah.
Very good. And where are you located? And do you have any website and where people can find you?
We're located in Concord at 430 Loudon Road. And our website is kohlgardens.com. And if you want information on the farmer's market, it is concordwintermarket.com.
And how long is the winter farmer's market going to go on for? How many more weeks?
The winter market ends on April 11th, and then there's a lull in between the 11th, and I think the Concord summer market starts the second week of May downtown.
Okay, so not too much, maybe about a month, yeah. Month and a, you know, 4 or 5 weeks. Great. Well, thank you very much, and thank you for coming on Food for Thought, and good luck with the farmers market.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you coming in today.
Thank you.
It is so good to hear that. You know, that reminds me of just like we were talking about hearing spring break stuff. It just makes you think of summer and spring, and then hearing at the very end of that, you know, talking about spring really is right around the corner.
It is. It is.
I mean, I feel it. It's encouraging.
It's supposed to almost hit 50 today and 50 tomorrow. So, I mean, we're, you know, and yesterday, which didn't quite, well, did it hit like around 38 or something, 40 yesterday?
Yeah, I don't 38? Even know specifically what the temperature was. I know it meant I could roll my windows down.
A little bit, yeah.
In the car.
And I noticed that I could see the bottom of my driveway in certain areas, yeah. Which I thought was really cool. You know, so I think that a lot of the snow is starting, you know, it's going to start to melt, which is great. I mean, we have a lot of melting to do.
We do.
But,
yes.
But, you know, it looks like it's going in the right direction anyway.
Right. So we're certainly thankful for that. We're also thankful for our sponsors, and we want to give another shout out to New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought. Also, Celeste Oliva at 75 South Main Street in Concord, your source for the freshest premium extra virgin olive oils and balsamic vinegars. Red Arrow Diners in Manchester, Milford, and now open with drive-thru in Londonderry. Belmont Hall and Restaurant at 718 Grove Street in Manchester. Top quality foods made fresh for over 50 years. Integrity Health Coaching Solutions in Bedford and Londonderry, your coaching solutions company. And Express Jewelry Center at 44 North Main Street in Concord for precision repair and sales.
Yeah.
So we definitely want to thank those folks for making it possible. It is so much fun to come out and do this show and to listen to this show, talk about different aspects of food, learn from each other and from the experts that we have come on.
I know. It's quite interesting. And we learn something every single day.
We do about various. And it's so interesting that honey and beekeeping has continued to pop up on the horizon over the last week or a couple of weeks, really, because we really kind of started a few weeks ago talking to Charlotte
about
her honey, and that piqued our interest. And then it's so easy to find the information for those things.
Well, this seems like it's popping up all over the place.
It is.
I know.
Because people are trying to do more and more things themselves and get more and more natural for their food sources. And so why not, honey?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I can think of a couple reasons for myself. Why not? That beekeeping outfit and then all the maintenance that goes into it really makes you appreciate
what goes in that jar.
That is for sure. And as you said yourself, Carol, that when you were there at the farmers markets, you were looking at honey very differently.
I totally was. I had a whole new respect for it.
Yes.
I really, really did. So, well, thank you, ladies.
Yes, thank you.
Great
and,
to see
Tracy,
you today.
Tracy, you were going to be in for Jeannie on Thursday.
So it's
Tracy and Carol on Thursday. Interesting. That ought to be fun.
We shall see.
You're listening to Food for Thought. Tomorrow, Chef Patrick Hall, he's bringing in a sumac dish.
Awesome.
How exciting is that? I can't wait to taste that herb. Herb is my GM over in Manchester. All right. We'll see everybody tomorrow. Bye, everybody.